Verdines was considered the epitome. The Lent Verdines, quote unquote, you were supposedly said to have been buying quality, which may or may not have been true. But I know you paid a pretty penny for it. It was really like expensive.
Was the exclusiveness based on amount of money you paid, or was there actually quality? Did anyone actually investigate that?
I don't think no one questioned it. You know, the more money you pay for anything, you know, the more the quote unquote quality is. I don't think anyone really like questioned actually the quality of the merchandise.
Hmm.
They just, you know, Verdines just had a very high, you know, everything was just sky high at Verdines at the time.
Okay, now we're talking about neighborhoods now, again, in city areas, so while we're on this topic. Were there any predominant ethnic neighborhoods? And, you know, at what points were there, you know, various types of them, regardless of class or whatever, you know?
Okay. Yeah, there were. The girl that I know primarily was predominantly black. I'm talking about that area south of Dinakee, of the Dinakee area, was predominantly black. I hate to say south. Yeah, I could say south because, see, that area is, as far as geography is concerned and all that kind of stuff, it's really like divided off. The closer you, no matter if, well, we say south of Dinakee, however, the closer you got to the water, there was land close to the water, that most of the settlers there were white people who had their homes built there. These were primarily white. We lived almost like in the center of that. Sweetingtown was, of course, predominantly black. Coral Gables was exclusively white.
Now, when you say exclusively white, is that a class, middle, is there a stratification there?
Yeah, there is a sort of like upper middle class. As a matter of fact, the stories my father used to say was, well, one, if you worked in Coral Gables, you had to be identified. You had to have an ID card, you know. Oh. Anybody who caught in Coral Gables without an identity card after a certain hour would go to jail, period. Secondly, there were certain neighborhoods that you couldn't build a certain price type of house. For instance, in a $30,000 neighborhood, you couldn't build anything over maybe $35,000, $40,000, or you couldn't build under that amount of money. They ran up according to price.
They had both top and bottom limits.
And bottom and top limits.
Huh.
And I guess they said to keep the uniformity of the property value. I guess that was their reason. But you couldn't build a $35,000 house in a $75,000 neighborhood.
Right.
For sure. They would have to approve of that. So there was a class distinction there. North Grove, going towards the city of Miami proper, down south of Bayshore, was also a very exclusive sort of neighborhood in that it housed most of your millionaires. People built their huge mansions. I don't know if you've driven up South Bayshore when you were coming that way. It's an interesting ride, just to, you know, if you go back down to the Grove, to just travel up Bayshore. And Bayshore give you tickets, really will put you right back into US 1, so you probably won't get lost.
Is that Dixie Highway? US 1?
US 1 and Dixie Highway are the same.
Okay.
Okay. But Bayshore runs along, it's a very scenic and beautiful ride. You can see the mansions and things like this.
I wanted to try to find some more, city people. I wanted to try to get more, actually, city people, mm-hmm. Like yourself, you know, born in, either in the Grove or in Miami,
right.
Per se. And apparently I'm going to have to go to that area. Did you by any chance to run across anybody else here that would be interested in doing this?
And at the school here, mm-hmm. You mean? No, I haven't, really. After I checked with my class, that it was different. You know, like I didn't really go into it again. I talked with Mrs. on Wednesday, and